Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in just a minute. Words of the Decade, the English language in review. And now, the words of the decade, because the English language is not static, never static, ever changing, an alive and vibrant language. I love our language. So every year, especially in the internet era, where dictionaries can be updated with the click of a mouse, some of the major dictionaries choose some words of the year. And so with a decade coming to an end, we thought we would take some time right now to review some words of the 2000s with two leading dictionary editors and word sleuths. We welcome Ammon Shea from the New Oxford American Dictionary, an author of Reading the OED, One Man, One Year, 21,730 pages. Hi, Ammon.
Hi, how are you?
And Mike Agnes, editor-in-chief of Webster's New World College Dictionary. Mike, happy New Year and welcome to WNYC.
Why, thank you very much.
And listeners, our phones are open for the words or phrases of the decade for you. What words and phrases did you start using since 2000 that you came to love or hate? Or if you have any questions about the words of this decade, you can call us up with those two, 212-433-WNYC. That's not our pledge number. That's our on-air number. We'll never ask you for money on the air. 212-433-9692. Words of the decade that you love or hate, or questions about the words of this decade, 212-433-9692. For Ammon Shea from the OAD and Mike Agnes from Webster's. And we're going to give you a special challenge in a minute for how to use some of these words in a sentence. But stay tuned for that. We'll give you that soon. Ammon, you read the whole Oxford English Dictionary cover to cover for your book. That was 21,000 pages. How many words?
Well, it's a little difficult to say. I mean, how many words of actual text? There are about 59 million words within it. But in terms of the actual number of head words, it's, I didn't actually count those, but it's in the neighborhood of over a half million head words. The reason why the Oxford English Dictionary is so much larger in size than most other dictionaries is because they give so much more room to documenting how the words are used. And so it's full of citations taken from literature and just general usage of the language.
Any idea from this process how many words have been added in this decade, or how many words tend to get added per year these days?
Well, no, it's a very difficult thing to tell, I think. It's always hard to say when exactly a word comes up. You use the word dope, the Homer Simpson word, earlier, and everybody assumes that the recent word that came with the Simpsons, and it was actually, I think the OED documents it, to 1945. Mm. It was a BBC radio script. And that wasn't really discovered, I think, until fairly recently. So it's a kind of changing process, discovering when exactly a word makes its, its entry into a language.
And the OED's word of the year for this year was unfriend.
Yes, it was.
Why unfriend?
When we look for the word of the year, what we're really looking for is a word that's got great significance and relevance in the past year. It doesn't necessarily have to have come up for the very first time in the past year. I think unfriend and defriend, it's kind of a cognate word, both came up in 2001 in an internet context first. Unfriend actually was first used as a verb in 1659 and was only used once as a verb. It exists as a noun since 1275, meaning just an enemy or someone who's not your friend. But within the context of social network media, which is the way we're looking at it, it really kind of exploded in 2009. It took on a much greater range of use.
So the old use as your enemy would be unfriend as a noun. That's my unfriend.
Right.
And here it's a verb. I'm going to unfriend you.
Right. So we're following
or
the great
defriend.
Tradition.
And there was some controversy among Facebook users that the word is actually defriend.
Well, it is both are more or less interchangeable. And what we did is we went based on the evidence we had at hand, which is that we look at the Oxford University Press has this enormous corpus, a body of words that we've collected, which is about 2.5 billion words in actual use. And we can comb through that with, all sorts of computer programs to see how a word is being used, what words it's being used with, and, the incident rate of usage and things. And according to our data, unfriend was used slightly more than defriend. And also Facebook had a kind of a survey that they did of user-generated groups, and the unfriend had a slight leg up there. We're not saying that defriend doesn't exist or that one is proper. We have no feeling as to which one is actually correct. We just went with what we saw as the evidence.
As more common. All right. So there, Mike Agnes from Webster's, you have a two-word phrase of the year for 2009, and it's distracted driving.
That's correct. That was our choice that of a term that was very rapidly taking hold, not just in conversation, but in legislation and in newspaper articles and so forth. And it reflected a new cultural concern, a new legal concern in the United States. Once late in the year, when distracted piloting came into the news, we decided we couldn't pass that one up. So distracted driving was our choice.
And it's certainly not a new problem, but it's a new coinage?
Yes. We actually only track it back to, let's see, this is 2009. I think our first citation for it is in 2008. Now, we do not make an effort to put into our research archives the very, very first incident, first instance of use at all. We wait until it seems to be gaining traction, as we now say, and then we start gathering citations. We do not use a corpus the way Oxford does. We have the old-fashioned citation readers on staff who follow a reading program and gather examples.
All right. Now, listeners, here's this extra challenge, because in addition to going through the words of the decade, here's what we're going to do. Special challenge for you. We have put all of the Webster's and OED words of this decade on our webpage. That's 15 words altogether. And we want you to go look at those 15 words and use as many of them as you can in a sentence. You can post your sentence on our comments page or get ready to call them in on the phone a little later in the hour. You got that? This creative and literate audience that you are can do this. We've put all of the Webster's and OED words of this decade on our webpage. That's 15 words altogether. And we want you to go look at those 15 words and use as many of them as you can in a sentence, and post that sentence on our comments page or get ready to call them in later. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. We have some coming in already. George in Bay Ridge, and you'll hear what some of the words are through this. I was on my Crackberry listening to a carbon neutral locavore podcast while hypermiling when Bethany unfriended me as I was Twittering this, and I had a senior moment and crashed. So our editors will recognize those words. Another one, as an adolescent whose work with tweens regularly leads to job spill, I stave off the inevitable onset of senior moments with regular Crackberry info snacking, taking care not to let transparency turn to oversharing that would lead to my fellow locavores to unfriend me or stop listening to my podcast, wrote Marianne. Anyway, you get the idea. So you can take that challenge. Go see the 15 words of the decade and use them in a sentence on our webpage while we continue to go over what some of those words are. And Ammon Shea, consultant to the OED, unfriend was your official word of the year, but hardly the only new word or phrase that the OED noted in 2009. For example, the economy and technology both provided you several new and noteworthy words. I see hashtag.
A hashtag is a sign that's added to a word or phrase, which allows Twitter users to search for tweets, postings on a Twitter site that have similarly tagged items or view kind of themes on Twitter.
And similar to the distracted driving word that we heard from Mike at Webster's, you have intexticated.
Yeah, it's very similar, much in the same vein. Intexticated is distracted while driving because that you are texting on a cell phone or some other, you know, handheld mobile device.
And one from the realm of the economy, freemium.
Freemium is a business model in which some of the basic services are free with the aim of enticing users or computer users to pay for the premium features of the site.
And to our phones with some of our listeners' comments on favorite or unfavorite words of the decade. Jennifer in Middlesex County, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What you got?
Well, you know, I am a high school English teacher, and all of a sudden, all of my students have started to use the word random. And I hear it so many times per day, and I notice even my 9-year-old son is coming home talking about everything being so random. And I was wondering if you knew where that came from. It must be something in the popular culture that I'm not cued into. I can't figure out why everyone's using it.
Mike Agnes, has this come across your radar?
No, it hasn't, at least not across my radar. We don't have the readers here on site today because of the upcoming holidays, but they usually are far more attuned to the cutting-edge emerging English that we track.
So, Jennifer, do you find that you're hearing it in different forms or different kind of definitions than what we think of as the, you know, the official dictionary definition of random?
I think so. There seems to be multiple usage for it, random boys or asking random questions. Sometimes students will use it to mean many. Sometimes they'll use it to mean varied. It just seems to pop up as an adjective for most any reason.
Jennifer, thanks a lot. We'll see if we get some random responses to that. Bonnie in Hackensack, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bonnie.
Good morning.
What word are you noticing?
I am noticing the use of the word surreal in the popular media to describe any unusual or inexplainable experience. I'm not sure that Salvatore Dali had that in mind when he and the earlier creators of the Surreal School of Art were applying their craft.
That's an interesting one, Ammon, right? Anything that's, like, unbelievable that's surreal.
Well, I think it's a fairly common process that a lot of words go through in which they kind of broaden their meaning, and it's also fairly common that people take exception to this when it happens. Unfortunately, it seems to be more or less an inevitable aspect of the language that some words will really kind of change meaning in this way. I think it's always very interesting, and if it happens in a kind of definable enough way, dictionaries will start to take note of it and will note this expanded usage. Enormity is one of the great examples that still really kind of burns people, that for some period of time, enormity meant something of enormous monstrousness. And several hundred years ago started to also mean something that is just quite large. People have been complaining about it for the past several hundred years, but that hasn't changed the general population from using it in this new and kind of expanded sense.
All right, Bonnie, thanks a lot. Now, let me try some out on you guys. Before we go to previous years, let's just stay in 2009 here for a minute, and I'm going to try some out on both of you. Ammon Shea, consultant to the OED, and Mike Agnes, editor at Webster's, from another source. This comes from Grant Barrett from WordNik.com. It's published in the New York Times Week in Review. Tell me if you can define these words. Okay, Mike, you ready?
I'll try.
The apocalypse. A word for 2009. The apocalypse.
Well,
Ammon, any guess?
I'm going to guess it has something to do with global or perhaps national finance collapse.
Nice try, but it's in response to the swine flu.
Ah, excellent.
According to Mr. Barrett, includes unnecessary acts like removing non-essential kisses from Mexican telenovelas and the mass slaughter of pigs in Egypt, the apocalypse. How about an athe, Ammon?
Spelled how?
A-T-H-E-Y, athe.
I wouldn't have a clue.
An atheist, usually derogatory, which he heard in use in 2009. And Mike, have you been paying attention to the news? This could have been in our news quiz, this one. What is a birther?
Spell it, please.
Birther, B-I-R-T-H-E-R.
A midwife, perhaps?
That one I know.
Ammon?
Birther came up after the last election as a conspiracy theorist who challenges President Obama's legitimacy based on his purported not having a birth certificate.
That's right. And we'll give you one more from this. Let's see. I'll pass by death panel and government motors, which you can figure out what that is. How about Chimerica, Mike? You have that in Webster's yet? Chimerica, which is a proper noun, capital C, Chimerica.
I can only speculate it might be a blend of Chinese and America.
Yes, it's the intertwined economies of China and the United States, which together dominate the world economy, popularized by our friend Neil Ferguson in his book, The Ascent of Money. So from Grant Barrett at WordNIC, a few of the other words of 2009. And we will continue with more of the words of the decade with Mike Agnes from Webster's and Ammon Shea from the OED and the book Reading the OED. When we continue, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we continue now with the words of the decade with Ammon Shea, consultant to the new Oxford American Dictionary and author of Reading the OED, One Man, One Year, 21,730 pages, and Mike Agnes, editor-in-chief of Webster's New World College Dictionary. And remember, listeners, we have a special challenge for you now, and now is when we really want you to focus on this. We have put all of the Webster's and OED words of this decade on our webpage. That's 15 words altogether. And we want you to go look at those 15 words and use as many of them as you can in a sentence. You can post your sentence on our comments page, which is right there, or get ready to call them in on the phone near the end of the hour. Got that? You creative and literate people can do this. We have put all of the Webster's and OED words of the decade on our webpage, 15 words altogether. Go look at those 15 words and use as many of them as you can in one coherent sentence. You can post your sentence to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, it's right there, and you can see the list. We've got the list there of these dictionary words of the decade and see how many you can use in one coherent sentence. All right, last year, Webster's chose overshare as the word of the year. Oxford chose hypermiling. Mike, overshare in what sense?
TMI, too much information, giving too much personal information out, at least too much for the listener. It's also curiously used simply to mean full disclosure, not pejorative, by those who choose to engage in this activity.
And Ammon, what is hypermiling?
Hypermiling is the practice of seeking to gain every possible advantage in getting the most miles from your car, which seems to have come up from the gas crisis at the time more than anything else.
So if you're hypermiling, then you are...
You keep making sure that your airs are filled with tires.
Your tires are filled with air.
Right, vice versa, one or the other, whichever works better for you.
I think in this country, usually the air is filled with tires.
Right. So it's making sure that your car is kept up to date, that you keep it tuned up, that you drive behind another car to reduce headwind, things like that.
That's a tough one to use in a sentence. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone actually use hypermiling in conversation. 2007, Webster's chose grass station. Oxford selected locavore. I wonder if these are related. Mike, what's a grass station?
It's a reference to ecologically sound use of gasoline. And it came in a year when green was everything. As Oxford's 2006 choice will point out. And we chose it as just an example. It was a nice blend, acoustically pleasing. And we chose it as an emblem of the green movement and the interest in ecology that year.
So you can definitely use hypermiling and grass station in the same sentence. I was wondering if grass station was a specific reference to ethanol because it comes from plants, but no.
Well, it's that too. I mean, that was the original sense of it, and it did seem to spread a little bit.
And Oxford selected locavore in 2007.
Right, which is someone who's primarily concerned with food of a local variety, which does, I think, tie into the whole kind of ecologically sound mindset that many people have adopted at the time. I mean, I think one of the things that's interesting about the word of the year is the way in which it reflects not only what's going on in society, but also the kind of sometimes fleeting and ephemeral nature of language, how closely tied it is to current events.
And since I assume that you two don't consult as competitors on the word of the year, it says something about what was around and about in 2007 that you chose grass station and locavore respectively. 2006, Webster's had crackberry as word of the year. The OED had carbon neutral And it feels like we've been saying carbon neutral for a long time, but I guess it just came into vogue really just those few years ago.
Yeah, it did. I mean, again, it's a little difficult sometimes to pinpoint the exact point at which a word came into the language, but from our records, carbon neutral really burst into significance in 2006.
Showing again the focus on global warming and climate change related consciousness in this decade, looking at these various things that have come up already, grass station and hypermiling and locavore and carbon neutral as well, and crackberry, a well-known word to blackberry addicts, I mean users. Mike Agnes?
That's right. There was even a phrase, the crackberry prayer, the hunched over double-thumbing posture that people take when they text. It was what really made us choose that was that the ubiquitous cell phone was beginning to annoy people. And crackberry can be used humorously without being without knocking the phenomenon, and it is. Crackberry.com is one of the major sites for BlackBerry users on the web. But we thought maybe it's time to give a nod to this mobile phone phenomenon that was engulfing us, so we chose it
back in 2006. And that's a word that made it into the dictionary from a brand name. BlackBerry. Are there other examples of that?
Well, first of all, no, it did not make it into the dictionary. In fact, our choices at Webster's New World usually are words that are not in the dictionary yet.
So when you choose something, just so I am not confused about this, when you choose something as your word of the year, that doesn't necessarily mean it's being added to Webster's dictionary?
Correct.
Right, and we're the same way at Oxford University Press. It's never a guarantee that this word will actually make it into the dictionary. If it has the proper longevity and it continues to be used in a kind of broad societal sense, then yes, it will eventually be added, but it's not a promise.
So what's the standard?
Well, it varies from dictionary to dictionary, and it varies, I guess, in some senses depending on the word, but generally it depends on whether the word is in fact being used. I mean, a great example is the Oxford English Dictionary a long, long time ago decided when they were first putting it together to leave the word appendicitis out of their first edition because they were promised by notable doctors that this was a very technical word that nobody ever used. And then the coronation of Edward VII was delayed by several weeks. This is in like 1907 because he came down with this case of appendicitis, and suddenly everybody was using appendicitis. It's impossible to foresee this, but the next edition of the dictionary, they put the word in because everybody was then asking, why isn't appendicitis in my dictionary?
Something happens to a celebrity, then all of a sudden everybody's concerned about it,
right,
and it makes its way into the dictionary. So again, listeners, we are inviting you to go to our webpage, look at all 15 of the words of the decade. There were 10 from Webster's and 5 from the OED because they didn't start doing it until 2005, these words of the decade, and use as many of them as you can in a coherent sentence, which you can post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, where you can also see this list of words. Or we'll take some of your sentences on the air in a little bit. And let's just keep going down this list a little bit. 2005, Oxford, still in the technology realm here, chose podcast, a word that I've said about 40 million times.
We chose that in honor of you.
Yeah, right.
The subtext there is podcast, parens, the Brian Lehrer Show.
Of course. And in 2005, Webster's chose info snacking, which may be related to podcast.
Only in the sense that technology is involved. That was really more a behavioral choice, that people were getting small tidbits of information from here and there on the web as if they were browsing or grazing. And we thought that was interesting. Rather than picking up a novel and reading it, people were going to Google and getting 5 news stories and then maybe one of their favorite websites and get a couple of public comments, shutting down the computer and going off to work. So it was a way of where and what type of information are you feeding yourself.
So Edmund Shea was not info snacking when he read the OED, One Man, One Year, 21,730 pages.
Well, actually, we're not quite sure what Evan was doing.
And I'm not either.
I absolutely admire the exercise. Don't get me wrong. My only explanation for why I haven't done it is that I have to divide all of my spare time reading between Russian and English, so I can only read 50% as much English as somebody else.
Well, if the people you described were info-snacking, maybe Ammon was info-binging. So in 2004, Mike Webster's had Adultescent.
That's right, a new age group that was being targeted by people who want to make money off customers. That recapitulated our 2001 choice, which you may have time to get to. But we thought it was interesting that people found, you know what, this age group is spending money. So let's make sure that we tailor our ads and our products to get as much money out of them as possible.
So this is another whole thread looking at the Webster's Words of the Year. We've talked about environmental ones. We've talked about technology ones. You have age category related ones, because you have Adultescent in 2004. The one you were just referring to from 2001 would be tween.
That's right.
For older than a single digit child, but younger than a teenager.
That's right.
And then in 2000, your phrase was senior moment.
Well, that was simply a delightful coinage. And it was interesting because boomers my age, over 60, were using it on themselves with self-depreciation. And one of my favorite essayists in the Times Literary Supplement, P.J. Kavanaugh, was introduced to the term by an American friend who said, ah, in America we have a term for that, senior moment. So that was evidence that indeed it was a coinage that came up in American English rather than British, and that's our bailiwick at Webster's New World. We mark Americanisms in the dictionary. So it just tickled our funny bone. We couldn't pass it up.
And it also shows to me how quickly we can go in one decade's time from something being a fresh new coinage to being a cliche.
Exactly.
Which I would call senior moment today. And the other two that we're not going to have time to talk about, but just so we get them all out there, transparency was your word in 2003, and job spill, current again, in 2002. And so, listeners, the challenge is down, is there, is out there for you now to go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, look at all 15 of these words or phrases of the year from 2000 through 2009 from Webster's in Oxford. And our guests will come back in a few minutes and listen to some of the hopefully coherent sentences that you have written, or we'll call in using as many of these 15 words as you can. So Ammon and Mike, we'll talk to you in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Wonderful.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Got about 3 minutes here at the end of the show with Mike Agnes, editor-in-chief of Webster's New World College Dictionary, and Ammon Shea from the New Oxford American Dictionary. He's a consultant there and author of Reading the OED, One Man, One Year, 21,730 Pages, to hear some of the sentences that you have put together using as many as you can of the 15 words of the year culled from both of these dictionaries. You can call up right now with your sentences. Call right away. We have time for a few of them. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 to call on the air. And in the meantime, here are some that have come in writing on our comments page. Brian Duval, I hope I don't overshare with this, so don't unfriend me, but while hypermiling my carbon-neutral hybrid to the gas station, some adolescent info-snacking locavore tween was doing some distracted driving as I was having my own senior moment using my CrackBerry to listen to your podcast about how transparency at the workplace can cause job spill. Ammon, that's
pretty thorough usage there.
That was great.
Yeah. I couldn't do that.
Yours is words, his is sentences. Jordana Jacobs wrote, "Dear Joe, maybe I'm oversharing, but I'm unfriending you because of the following adolescent activities: tweeting while distracted driving, info snacking every day on your CrackBerry, fussing over every carbon-neutral locavore tween you know on your podcast, numerous senior moments, and finally, your lack of transparency." Mike.
I have an uncomfortable feeling that's a real-life one.
Yes. I think the use of following with a colon and then a list is a clever dodge. But I'm not going to mark off for it.
A Dear Joe letter. Clarence wrote, during an info snacking moment while being adolescent on my Crackberry, I was made an unfriend by you with a tween. What has happened to transparency? My senior moment brought on an episode of distracted driving due to extended hypermiling over a Brian Lehrer podcast on carbon neutral ethics and responsibility and grass station maintenance.
I like that he went back to the 1275, the 13th century Scottish usage of unfriend as a noun there. So he's kind of revisiting his past glories.
Picked up that historical reference. Right. And Andrea S. writes, my adolescent ex was so addicted to oversharing and info-snacking on his Crackberry that I was concerned about distracted driving. So I unfriended him and returned to working on my podcast about tweens and locavores who enjoy carbon-neutral celebrations. Right. Nobody, by the way, is calling in, which means that this is a tongue twister of a challenge and one better done in writing. But luckily, a lot of people have posted on this, including Stephen S., who wrote, if you're one of those podcasting, oversharing, tweens, constantly info-snacking on Crackberries while I'm responsibly hypermiling my way to graze like a locavore at the carbon-neutral grass station in the sky, turning my senior moment-prone brain into the same kind of privacy-transparent adolescent mush that's driving distracted through the job spill of the recession, I'll unfriend your... dot, dot, dot.
That's very good.
That was a great
one. That could be the best set so far.
I think so. And final one that we have time for, Tom from Staten Island. As my unfriend, Constance, a committed locavore, was feeding me locally grown crackberries and whispering schoolgirl French into my ear, I became instantly adolescent and risked a job spill, a decidedly carbon-neutral podcast. Never mind that one made no sense.
Yeah, but it's pretty poetic in form, so we have to give it points for that, I think.
I jotted down adolescent X. I may use that.
My adolescent X. So there. Mike Agnes, editor-in-chief of Webster's New World College Dictionary, and Ammon Shea, author of Reading the OED, One Man, One Year, 21,730 pages. Thanks for being our word mavens of the decade.
Thank you both.
And stay tuned, everyone, for the Leonard Lopate Show. Keep the pledges coming. Talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, FM and AM New York, and WNYC.org, where the news is next. Then Leonard.